Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
It's so good to be preaching tonight to the greatest church in the world, C3 San Diego, South Campus. And I love how many people got baptized tonight. Wasn't that phenomenal? Seeing everybody get dunked, getting transformed. Phenomenal. I love our church. I really love our church. And let me just ask, who here has never experienced a Vision Sunday before? Or who's been in our church for less than a year? A few of you? Okay, cool. A few of you. First Vision Sunday. You're in for a treat. Did anybody miss Shredder Sunday last week? Anybody miss it? Okay. We can't go back in time, but there'll be another Shredder Sunday next year. Anyway, but it's cool. It's going to be a phenomenal night. I want to take a quick moment just to honor our senior pastors, Pastor Jürgen and Leanne. Come on, it's always a privilege to be part of such an amazing church, and we love our senior pastors, Pastor Jürgen and Leanne. But I want to get into this tonight. I don't want to preach too long. I want to make sure we have lots of time at the end of service tonight to pray over. What's on your seat right now is a vision card, and you're going to find that I'll probably hold off until maybe towards later in the message to start writing things on there. But at the end of the service, we're going to actually pray over each and every vision card. We're going to anoint with oil. We're going to really believe tonight. I'm believing tonight that some people are going to start seeing some new vision for their life in 2018. Amen. Amen. Have you ever failed at something? You don't have to say yes or lift your hand. I'm sure many of us have never failed at anything in our lives, because we're perfect, right? But I remember 1995, which was a funny year, apparently. 1995, I'm 10 years old, and it was the school athletics day at school. Yeah, and some of us were like, athletics day, yeah. And some of us were like, didn't go to school that day. My parents made me go to school, and it was forced upon every student to participate in every event. You couldn't get away with it these days, but I mean, back then you could do whatever with these kids. You forced us to sprint and run and everything. And so I remember it was the 100-meter sprint, the 100-meter sprint. And you know, I wasn't exactly the most agile or fast person, but I was going to give it a go because I had to. And I remember it so clearly because it was such an amazing moment. I mean, that the place was electric, the atmosphere. I mean, there were dozens of mums cheering on as we prepared for the 100-meter sprint. And I even took my shoes off, you know, because I consider myself to be somewhere between gazelle and leopard. So I figured, shoes off, leopard. And so I took my shoes off, and I kind of was just hoping, thinking, man, I could win this race. This is a 100-meter sprint. I'm going to go for it. I'm hopefully going to win. And so they count you down, 3, 2, 1, the gun goes off, and we take off on the 100-meter sprint, and I'm full of hope, thinking, man, I'm gonna hopefully win this race. But about 20 meters in, I realize that the pack is starting to break away from me, and I'm no longer in first, and never was in first place. So this is, you see where this is going, right? And then I got strength within me, and I overcame, and I won. No. No, it got worse. Around the 30-meter mark, somewhere in there, I don't remember exactly, my naked foot stepped on what I believe was planted. The sharpest stone, aside from the stone that David used to kill Goliath, the sharpest stone in the history of mankind was in my lane. And my naked foot, unprotected by the shoe that it could have been protected by, steps onto this stone. And I realize at that point, not only am I behind the pack, but I've just stepped on an extremely sharp stone. I didn't even know this could be glass in my foot. And so I started to sort of hobble and limp. And needless to say, unfortunately, I came last that day. I came last. And I left that race with, I guess, a broken dream, a very sore foot, and a participation ribbon, which to many millennials is success. And I'm a millennial, so I can say it. But if you have participation ribbons, there's a great Sunday. It's called Shredder Sunday. And we're going to have it in 12 months, so you can shred that thing next year. I'm not a fan of the participation ribbons, needless to say. Anyway, now that I've upset a few young people that have got tons of participation ribbons over their mirror at home, let's move on. But life is full of many great successes, but it's also got moments of failures, doesn't it? I look on my Facebook feed, and I think Facebook knows what you like because these smart computer people have just figured you out. Like, Facebook knows, it just gets me. Facebook gets me. I'm like, Facebook, you get me. But it always shows me videos that I know I want to watch. And so, like, I think it's every day, like, a video will pop up on my feed of, like, epic failures, like, epic accidents. You know what I'm talking about. Don't pretend you haven't carved out 4 to 6 hours of your life for watching YouTube videos, binge watching, but epic failure videos. There seems to be a common thread, like a popular few that seem to be in every montage of epic failures. And let me give you some examples. This might sort of reignite. Okay, I've seen those before. But if you've ever seen a teenager swinging on a rope into a lake and the rope breaks, that's one of them. Another one is muscular man squats too much weight and falls backwards in his gym. Another one is teenager jumps from roof of house into pool but does not understand basic physics. Another one is young shirtless man while drinking a beer tries to be a ninja and jumps over things he cannot jump over. Epic fail video. And my favorite, my personal favorite one is person from the Midwest cuts down massive tree but it falls on his own house. You're laughing because it's the Midwest. Anyway, that never happened in California. But anyway, we all fail from time to time, don't we? We all have our epic failure moments. But I guess the question I want to ask myself is, do I laugh at it and learn from it and move on from it, or do I hang on to it? Do I allow my failure moments to damage me? Do I allow my failure moments to cause me to downgrade the vision I'm about to write on my vision card tonight? And the Bible's full of people that had failure moments. Did you know that? It's full of people that had failure moments. We often think that, oh, we've got to be perfect in order for God to use us. But the Bible's full of people who were not perfect. In fact, there are some epic failures in some of our favorite Bible characters. David, our friend David, who, you know, hello, David's awesome, committed adultery and murdered a guy. Probably don't do that. Like, probably don't do that in your life. Come on. Peter denies Christ 3 times. You know that story. Noah, the guy that built the ark, you know, pretty cool guy. Had a pretty bad moment where he had too much to drink and he ended up passing out naked. His kids found him. It's just awkward. And maybe you're sitting here tonight thinking, this is Vision Sunday. Why are we talking about failure on Vision Sunday? Why are you kicking this off with failure? Because you and I, if we're not intentional about it, we can allow our failures to in fact define us. And we can allow our failures to frame our lives. And failure, if not dealt with correctly, will cause us to live with fear, will cause us to think small, and cause us to live with doubt in our lives. And maybe there's somebody here tonight and you've actually had your dream machine switched off for quite some time because of some failures that went down maybe a long time ago, but it's caused you to flick that switch off and think, I don't know if I can dream anymore. I don't know if I can get a vision or a goal for my life anymore. Or maybe it's not quite that bad. Maybe you just, when it comes to thinking of your year and the goals and the things you want to see, maybe you just downgrade it. Whether consciously or subconsciously, you just downgrade it to a level where you don't want to be disappointed. And I don't want you and I to come around our vision cards tonight with the incorrect perspective. I don't want you and I to be thinking too small. I don't want you and I to be thinking about our fears or our past failures or things that we've messed up in. I want us to see our vision card with the correct perspective. So in the time we have left, I do want to talk about what we frame our futures with. And I would ask this question. If you were to take your vision card home, does anyone have a vision card down here? If you were to take your vision card home tonight, if you were to, well, multiple, you guys are fast, like ninjas. If you were to take this vision card home tonight and you were to frame it and put it on your wall, which wouldn't be a bad idea, really. If you were to frame this and put it on your wall, what would you frame it with? Not literally, I'm not talking about decor from Hobby Lobby. I'm talking about what would you frame it with? What would you frame this with? What do you frame your future with? What do you frame your future with? Framing is quite important for a picture. You see, it preserves the picture. When you frame a picture, you put it on the wall, that picture is no longer negotiable for change. That's what it is. It's framed, it's up on that wall. That's what it's going to be. Nobody's coming along and drawing that. My kids aren't going to come ruin that with a Sharpie. It's not going to happen. It might. I mean, my son's pretty creative. You see, the devil would love for you and I to frame our lives around our past and around small thinking and around fear. But I think it's time for us to frame our lives around some other things. And so the title of my message tonight is Frame Your Future. Frame Your Future. And I even have a prop for it because I'm really loving props lately for some reason. And this is it. Check it out here. This is the little prop. It's actually from Hobby Lobby, which is a fantastic Christian company, closed on Sundays, 40% off coupon, hello. Yeah, all the girls like, you! Whatever. And anyway, this is what you don't want to frame your life with. This is what you don't want to frame your life with. We're going to talk about this. It's going to look different towards the end. So take a photo at the end. Don't take it now. But actually, Dave Romero, why don't you come up here, Dave? I need someone to help me. Come on, yeah, give the people what they want. Dave Romero. I'll get you to hold this for me, Dave. You got a pretty big job. You're going to be holding that for quite some time. How are your traps feeling? Good. They look good. They look amazing. So the title of my message is Frame Your Future. Let's pray, and then let's kick this off. God, I thank you for everybody here tonight. I thank you, God, that it won't be my words tonight, but your words would be spoken. I thank you tonight. People are going to write some visions down on some cards that are literally going to shift and change their lives. It's going to be an amazing, amazing night. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Turn to the person next to you and give them a high five. Yes, we need to work on that. Okay. That's why the world went to fist bumps, didn't they? They were like, this is just way too hard. Let's just fist bump. We can do that. This is hard. You see, this is what the devil would love for you to frame your life around. Oh, he'd love for you to think, when you think through the filter of your future, he'd love for you to think about this. Think about it like this, with your failures from your past and doubt, small thinking. He'd love for you to think about your future with fear. He'd love that. But I'm not sure if that's what God actually wants for you and I in this life. So let's talk about this first one. Failures. Let's talk about that. Because I've already started talking about it anyway. I've kind of opened up to you all about my running experience. So I feel vulnerable and I feel like we've really connected on that. And any kid that's had a hard time in athletics really knows what I'm talking about. But I'm going to grab that Sharpie. All right. You see, the enemy would love for you and I to frame our futures around our past. Past failures, past mistakes, opportunities we missed. Come on, Bitcoin. If I meet one more Bitcoin millionaire, that tells me about how much money they made. Anyway, moving on. The devil's a good history teacher. He's a good history teacher. I'll give him that. The devil's a good history teacher. In fact, he wants you to be thinking about your past when you should be thinking about your future. And I don't know about you, but there's a verse in the Bible that actually says, forget the former things. Remember not the things of the old. Behold, I want to do a new thing. So when it comes to our futures, when we're thinking about our futures and we're framing up our futures, I don't want to be spending my life focusing on my past failures. You might want to hold that just up there so I don't want to stumble and draw on this amazing shirt. I don't want you and I to be thinking about our past failures. Rather, I would want you and I to think about God's future promises for us. I want us to think about our failures, but rather God's promises. And my handwriting is not great, and I'm writing on an angle. But you can read that, and if you can't, well, I'm sorry. You see, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a future and a hope." Jeremiah 29:11. If you've just started reading your Bible, if you've never really gotten into the Bible, that's a really good place to start. That talks about the promises of God. That scripture there outlines five promises, in fact, that God has for us. The first promise he tells us in that one scripture is that he has a plan for us. In case you didn't know that, God actually has a plan for you. He has a plan for you. And that plan is to prosper you. And he also promises not to harm you. He also promises to give you a hope. He also promises to give you a future. And if that's not good news in church, I'm not sure what is. But God, somebody has to hear this tonight. God actually has amazing future for you. He has promises for you that you won't be able to get to if you focus on your past failures. Life's too short for you and I to live in our past failures. When we have a Bible that is full, I'm telling you, this Word of God is full of promises for you and I to read and for you and I to access, so that when you and I think about our future, we think about our future and we frame our future not around our past failures, but rather around God's future promises. That, come on, if God is for me, who can be against me? I am the head, not the tail. I am above, not beneath. I am blessed to be a blessing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Somebody needs to hear that tonight. You've forgotten about the promises of God. And maybe you've hung on to that failure. Maybe you've hung on to that thing. Maybe you're hanging on to something else. But tonight, I want you and I, as we come around our vision cards, to remember what the promises of God are. Promises of God are, in Jesus' name, amen. Now let's talk about, which one next? Doubt. Let's talk about doubt. You see, doubt is similar to fear, but it's different. You see, doubt will actually keep you on the couch. Doubt will cause you to quit before you even start. I doubt that'll happen. And when you start the habit of doubting, all of a sudden that habit will actually become your normal. I doubt it. And you'll end up being a couch crusader, eating a bag of Doritos while life just kind of goes on by. And you're wondering what's wrong, because you've just let doubt creep in. Doubt creeps into our lives very subtly. And you and I can become doubters if we're not intentional about it. But you and I aren't called to live with doubt. God has a bigger plan for you and I than doubt. We're not supposed to live in this place. Doubt is not your end of destiny. You need to forget about doubt. And I don't want to live my life with doubt. And this is a long word, so I'm going to try and write this. I want to live my life with expectation. I don't want to live my life with doubt. I want to live my life with expectation. So a month ago, I had a sweet lady come up to me at church, and we were right down here, and she said, "Can you pray for me, because I have cancer?" So absolutely, I can pray for you. Absolutely, let's pray right now. So I prayed for her, and I was amazed at her response. She said to me, I'm healed. I was trying to give her like a little, it's going to be all right tomorrow, because she had the test the next day. I said, it's going to be good. Tomorrow's going to be fine. You're going to be fantastic. She was like, she had more faith and expectation than me. She had more expectation than even I did. And she said, it's okay. I'm healed. I know I'm healed, Pastor. That was a month ago. And so we high-fived and I gave her a hug and she left. And this morning she came up to me. I was standing right here. She came up to me right here. And I prayed for her vision card. And she said, oh, Pastor, I've got to tell you, I don't have cancer. I don't have cancer. Because the day after you prayed for me, I went to the doctors and they said, I guess you don't have cancer anymore. But she wasn't living in here. She was living in here. She had expectation. When she walked into that doctor's surgery the next day, she had an expectation. I wonder what things I wonder what things you and I could possibly miss out in our lives because we just doubt it. What if she just doubted it? What if I prayed for her and did the nice prayer thing and she said thanks and walked away with just doubt. But she walked away with expectation, and her expectation got her miracles, because like I said, she had more faith than I did. Expectation. Come on, leave doubt behind tonight. Maybe there's something on your vision card that you actually need to cross off and reassess, because there's doubt. Be expectant. Come on, what are you expecting for in 2018? What are you expecting for? The devil would love to get you and I in a place where we're not expecting anything. What does this year look like for you? I don't know. Because doubt's crept in and allowed you and I to, if we let it, to drop our expectation. An expectation, it quite often isn't logical. It's quite often unrealistic at best. And we have these great people around us quite often that when we tell them, our God dream, and you've got to be careful who you tell your God dream to. Don't just put that on Facebook to everybody to see. Some dreams aren't meant to be published. But anyway, that's another whole message, another whole thought. But some people, and they're often great people in our worlds that we love, that love us, you know, that will tell them our God dream, and they'll say, that's really nice. Just don't get your hopes up. Don't get your hopes up. What? I would want for some people tonight to get their hopes up. I think the reason why we have increased numbers of people who have depression and anxiety in our worlds because people have actually got their hopes down. We need to be a church that gets people's hopes back up again. Get your hopes back up again. This is your year to get your hopes up again. Come on, you've lost all your hope, but tonight's your night. Stop living in doubt. Start living in expectation. I've got to keep moving. Running out of time. Small. Let's talk about this for a minute. You can show it to the people, man. It's good. People want to see that face. Isn't Dave doing a great job? Love Dave Romero. Small. You see, the devil would love it. Oh, he'd love it. If you and I could think about our year through that filter of small. What's easy? What can I do without having to bother God? What can I achieve by myself? What's easy? What's small? What a tragedy it would be for you and I to live our lives, but to live our lives as a small life. John 10:10 says, I have come, this is Jesus, that they may have life and have it, help me, more abundantly. That's one of the greatest scriptures, but wait, there's more scriptures of all time. You see, Jesus didn't just come to give us life, but to give us life more abundantly. More abundantly. He didn't hang on a cross so you and I could just live small, average, mediocre, lame lives. He died on a cross so you and I could live big, amazing, incredible lives. So as you take out your vision card tonight, I don't want you to think through the perspective of small. There's no room for small. I want us to think big. I want you and I to think big. Come on, how'd you think when you were a kid? Come on, when you were a kid, you could have been anything. When you were a kid, you were going to be an astronaut. And maybe you still could be, but I'm just saying, what do you think? When you think about your future, how big are you thinking? How big are you thinking? You know, when I go to Chick-fil-A, which is a very, very good place to go. Hobby Lobby, Chick-fil-A. I don't get paid for any of these endorsements, by the way. They're Christian companies that I just love. And I would love to buy the Hobby Lobby that's in Chula Vista, by the way, for our next campus. Wouldn't that be cool? West Chula campus. Anyway, side note. I'm just thinking big. When you go to Chick-fil-A, why? And I have to ask, why would you get regular size? When you go to the movies, you've got the choice of this tiny little popcorn bag, which will feed, what, maybe a small child, and it's $15. Or for 25 cents more, you go from the tiny little bag that you need to ration out or only eat one every couple of minutes. You have to ration it. You get the super size bag, but it's only 25 cents more. And you can go out there. And this is why I love America, because in Australia, you don't have butter machines. The butter's controlled by the person behind the counter. But here in the United States, for 25 cents more, you can go from having a lame little bag that's not going to even get you to through the opening scene of Titanic to the most amazing bucket that you need a trolley just to carry it into your cinema. And you can refill it as many times, but you can't refill the little bag. And you can pour pounds, gallons of butter all over this thing. And we laugh. But often we settle for this little bag, but for 25 cents more, God has so much more for you and I. So much more. Big life. There's nothing wrong with having a big vision. Let us sit for a minute, because you get around small people long enough and you're going to think there's something wrong with having a big vision. You get around small-minded people, you're going to feel kind of insecure about having a big vision, because they'll shoot down your big vision. But there's nothing wrong with having a big vision. There's nothing noble about shrinking back and having a small, seemingly humble vision. If you're going to be dreaming and scheming for this year, you may as well go big with it. Come on. If you're thinking about your family, what is your dream for your family this year? Is it just to go through another year? I love how Tony's talking about taking his wife on a dream vacation. And now he's got all these accountability partners to help him with that. Yeah. Where you want to go, Carla? You better tell us all. I love that. He thinks big. His goal is not to take Carla down to the local. I don't even know what hotel. The local hotel for a staycation for one night. He's thinking international. He's thinking clear water. He's thinking a hotel that has a ground, the floor's made of glass, and there's turtles underneath there. And you pay thousands to look at these little turtles because he's thinking big. Come on, if you're going to be a business person, you may as well go out there and just crush it. If you're gonna have a vision for your company, you may as well just go out this year and do yourself a favor and just have a phenomenal year. And maybe you need to add a zero to your goals this year. Maybe you've been looking at this with zero faith and zero expectation and small thinking. Maybe instead of hiring one person, you need to hire 10 people. Maybe this is your year to step out. Start that business. Start that side business. Do that thing. Think big. Think big. Here at C3 Church, we make no apologies for encouraging you and I to think big. We will never, ever shrink back and not have you think big. And that's a good thing for you. That's a good thing for you. We have a big God. He has a big plan for your life. Heaven's going to be big. I mean, if you don't like big churches, heaven is going to be a big church. I liked it better when C3 was small, when we were reaching less people, and less people were getting saved, and less people were getting connected in groups and making great friends, and less people were growing, and less people were serving on teams and finding their purpose. Small. Small thinking. We have a big God. He has a big plan for your life. And I'm spending a bit more time on this point because I really want to drive this home, that God has a big plan for your life. And you may have come in tonight crushed, defeated, but God wants to encourage you tonight. He has a big plan for you, a big life ahead for you. And just a side note, side message within the message. Maybe part of you having a big life, or maybe the missing ingredient of you getting to your big life, is for you and I to become big people. To become big people. You see, and this might sting, but I love you, so I'll say it anyway. This may sting, But if you got a God dream as this big, but you're living this big, all this space in the middle is going to be filled with frustration. So you got a God dream up here. You have to be willing to leave behind some small things down here. And maybe on your vision card, you need to write down. And I know we had Shredder Sunday last week, but guess what? This is like Shredder Sunday extended or something. But maybe there's something you need to leave behind. Because maybe deep down you've got the skills, the ability to do that amazing thing, but because you're still here in that small stuff, gossip. I mean, nothing will make you smaller than gossip. God could have called you to be the next billionaire on Shark Tank. But gossip. Did you see what she's wearing? Oh my gosh, she's gained weight. Oh my gosh, they're having a hard time in their marriage. We need you here. You need to be here. You need to be here. But you need to leave this. You need to leave this. Come on. You need to leave. I've got a big dream, but I just... I'm always late to work. My boss doesn't see small. Every boss sees. Every boss sees. They may not say it, but they see it. I've got a big dream, but I've always got to be right. Small. So I'll burn every friendship around me because I've always got to be right. But God has this plan for you, but you always got to be right. So you stay here when God needs you, up here. And you need you up here. Should I leave that there? One more. Man, I got a God dream for ministry. I want to do something. I want to build the church. Oh, I don't want to wear a bright blue high shirt. All the high shirt people stand up. The struggle is real. I got a dream. I got a dream for God. Okay. But we need you to get some singing lessons. I'm like the next Celine. You might be, sweetheart, but we need you to get some lessons. That's it. You're not recognizing my gifts. I'm out of here. Down here. Could have been up here. But you chose that. Join the ushers team. It's down here. It's down here. You want to do something up here? I don't change diapers. I want to change lives. Well, first you might have to change some diapers. I got a big dream, but it starts in the small stuff. Oh, we're so obsessed with next level. Oh, next level, next level, next level, bigger level, bigger devil, devil, level, level. You're on level 2. Let's get through 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then you get to 10. So I'm saying this to help some people tonight, and I may have stung a little bit. I may have upset at somebody, but I'm cool with that. Because I love you too much to have you in 3 years' time just tell me, ministry's not for me. You couldn't get past here. But God's got such a dream for you. He has such a plan for you. In fact, it's so much bigger than just you. In fact, right now, there are people that are maybe sitting in their homes that need to hear what you have to say, need to be led by you. You need to start a connect group so they can be part of it or whatever. But if we're not willing to go beyond this, let's be big people so we can do big things. Amen. Last one. I'm out of time almost. Poor Dave. Dave, you've earned yourself a donut from the donut bar. Another endorsement, not paid for it. Fear. Fear, fear, fear. Oh, man. If you want something to put your life on pause, fear. Because here's the thing, you could actually be a big person and have a big dream, but fear will put your life on pause. I have this situation at home where, count to three, one, two, three, just trying to chill out. I have an internet problem. I've had the people come out, the special people that know all about the internet. Hey, internet person, fix it. Well, I can't. Okay, well, that's... And so what happens is I'm watching a fantastic YouTube video, maybe of an epic failure of someone hanging off a rope and it breaks. I don't know. But in the middle of the video, the internet quits. That's it. And the video just goes on pause. And there's nothing I can do at this point. And maybe that's exactly where you're at tonight. Because of fear. Fear has gotten hold of you to the point where you're on pause. You're not sure. You don't want to get hurt again. You don't want to fail again. So fear has got you stuck. Fear will ultimately stop you and I from stepping out of the boat and walking on the water that you and I called to actually walk on. Fear will prevent any and every dream from becoming a reality because of the words, what if. Fear will get you to say, what if? What if I start that business and fail? But faith also says, well, what if you start that business and succeed? Fear says, oh, what if I make that new friend and that friend hurts me? But faith says, well, what if you make a new friend this year that is the exact friend you needed in your life, helps you walk through the season that you're in right now? Fear will say, man, what if I pray and God doesn't heal me? But faith will say, what if I pray and He does heal? Fear will say, where's the young adults at? Where's the youth at? Maybe not so much youth, probably more young adult. Fear will say, what if I ask her out and she says no? What if you ask her out and she says yes? I'm just trying to help some people in the church today. Trying to help some young men out. Take some steps of boldness and faith. So much fear around dating. Come on, you're just asking her out. Like, you go out all the time. You're just asking her to come with you to go out somewhere. You don't have to take her to a John Legend concert on your first date. Because all of me loves all of you. Like, you don't have to do that. You can take her down to Lolita's, which is probably not a very good place for a first date. But there's nothing romantic. There's not much pressure in that. There's not much pressure in that. What if she says no? What if she says yes? Fear. What are the things that you and I stop doing in our lives? What are we stopped doing because of fear? I don't know about you, but this year, I don't want this year to be a year of fear. I want this year to be a year of faith for me. When I fill out my card, I don't want to frame my card around fear. I want to frame my card around faith. Because anybody can have fear, but it takes somebody with some faith to have some faith. And when you fill that card out tonight, when you and I fill that card out, I want you and I to have faith that God can do amazing, incredible things in our lives. Hebrews 11, 1 says this, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. It's not seen yet. That's why you need faith. If you could see it, you wouldn't need faith for it. That's why this is such an important part of what we frame our lives around. So in just about a 1 minute time, we're gonna sing a song together and we're gonna worship for a moment. And I'm gonna invite everybody to stand and we're gonna bring our cards forward and the team is gonna come down the front, the ministry team, and we're gonna pray over people's cards, people's visions. But I want us in the last minute or two we've got as we write our cards, let's think, let's frame our future around the promises of God. Let's frame our future, come on, around expectation. Let's frame our future around bigness. Let's frame our future around faith. Come on, if you believe it, why don't you say amen tonight, church? Why don't you say amen?
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.